Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready for another game out in Pittsburgh, and our host Jesse Agler is being joined in studio by some former two-time All-Star and NL Cy Young Award-winning pitcher dude.
That would be Randy Jones.
That's you!
That's correct.
Oh,
that's
how about
right.
That?
In his playing days, Randy Jones won a lot of games by being a crafty lefty. These days, he wins a lot of arguments on the show by scaring the crap out of Blooper.
The Blooper, who's the winner?
Randy, because I'm afraid he'll yell at me next time he's on.
All right, that's fair. Congratulations, Randy Jones.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padre Social Hour, presented by United. It is Tuesday, it's July 7th, and for the Padres, it's game two of a three-game series in Pittsburgh here. Oh, just beautiful, man. Coronado, Point Loma, and the AMR studio, which really is as much a part of the San Diego skyline as any of those other
things. So true.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Randy Jones is here. I'm Jesse Agler. Another really, really tough loss for the Padres last night. We'll talk about all of that. Will Myers is going to stop by. He is rehabbing his wrist.
Good, we'll get an update.
And we will. We'll get an update on Will Myers' wrist. So we've got that all coming up. We'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the Twitter hashtag, PadresSH. And, of course, you can also chat with other fans live at Padres.com/social hour. So Will Myers will stop by in a little bit. We'll talk to him about his experience yesterday with Conan O'Brien, whose week of shows here from downtown San Diego is underway. Blooper, let's just get it out of the way now. Any update on Conan O'Brien coming on Padres Social Hour?
No update.
Oh, okay, good. Because I thought there was going to be a big update today.
Yeah, so did I. There's not one.
Oh,
so did I.
Poor Blooper.
Yeah, yeah. How about any of our other Comic-Con related guests?
No updates.
Oh, okay. All right. But right. It doesn't really start till tomorrow, right?
Right.
So we're not really worried about
it. Well,
yeah,
I mean, there's nobody here yet, right, Blooper?
No one's here yet.
Yeah. I mean, if I look around town, I would say that there are some people here. And we know that Conan's here.
Yes.
Because you were in a room with him yesterday.
Yes, I was.
How about that? He was in a room with Conan yesterday. Did he ask him about the show?
Did you talk to him?
No. He was talking to Will Myers. I was just there.
I was just there. That's maybe the headstone when all is said and done for Blooper.
That's gonna be.
I was just there.
I was there.
I was just there. That's all. All right. So you know, before last night's game in Pittsburgh, I said, "Hey, this series could look a lot like the St. Louis series because, like the Cardinals, the Pirates have some really outstanding pitching, and certainly AJ Burnett is at the front of the line, and he was good again last night." When I said that it could look like the Cardinals series, I don't know that I meant that there would be a really frustrating error that would be the difference in the game, kind of like we saw Saturday with Amarista in St. Louis. But yesterday, really, the play that swung the thing was half a great play and half a tough play
right.
For Yonhervis Solarte over at third base. He makes just a sensational effort to get to that ball.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, there's two parts to every ground ball.
Exactly.
There's the glove part and the arm part.
Well, and then he rushes the throw, and that's the real key there. He had a little more time than he thought, you know. And then it has to hit that one lip right there where
that's
the grass meets the dirt. And, you know, then he gets a bad hop. Or Yonder, you know, 9 out of 10 times he's going to pick that, you know, that short hop. But it just hit that lip, went up on him, and he just didn't have a chance. And unfortunate.
That was the only run that James Shields would allow, obviously. An unearned run. This would have ended the seventh inning had it been a throw that was a little bit more accurate. And the guy that hit that ball, Pedro Alvarez, would eventually deliver the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. And you may have heard he's Pat Murphy's son-in-law.
Yes.
May have heard that.
Yeah.
You might now be aware
story.
Of that situation. We beat that one into the ground pretty good the last couple of days. But James Shields, 7 innings, just 2 hits. 1 unearned run on that ground ball to Solarte.
Well, another great pitching effort, Jesse.
That's it,
this
man.
Is kind of what we've been looking for. And this whole, you know, this road trip, we've had outstanding pitching, in my opinion, starters, you know, especially. So, I mean, it's a good indication. Now we just got to get the offense going, you know, the other part of that puzzle. But I've been really worried about the starting pitching. But in these last 5 days, pleasantly surprised and hoping they can continue that. You know, right up to through the break, you know, then start the second half. You know, in the same thought process and pitching performance.
We've kind of been through this once before this season where you had that stretch of really good starts and you said, all right, this is what we've been waiting for. but the offense didn't really do their part. And it's kind of happening again here. You know, those last couple of games in St. Louis, the first game in Pittsburgh, and that's got to be frustrating. Oh. But, you know, it's going to happen to teams at different points over the course of the season. But it almost feels like a waste, right, when you get a performance like that and you don't win?
You win the first two of the road trip, and then the last three games,
you're
right there. You could have won, you know. And I think two of them, you really feel like you beat yourself, honestly.
Yeah, Saturday and yesterday.
Yeah, you had every chance to win. You could have won five in a row just as easy. Now you're playing a couple of good ball clubs, and don't discount the Cardinals and what we saw and you know, last night with the Pirates. You know, they can do that. I mean, we can talk, we can beat it to death. I might have done a little bit differently, with the left-handed hitter up there. You know, 3-2, I might have thrown something else other than, you know, something over the plate.
You're talking about Alvarez?
Yes.
Yeah, in the bottom of the ninth.
I'd have tried to make a perfect pitch away from him. Make him do something with that.
And if you walk him, you walk him.
You walk him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it.
There's a base open. I'd agree with that. So, I mean, who knows what was the intention there. I mean, the execution is always part of that conversation as well. But as you said, it was kind of a feel like you beat yourself a little bit. Pat Murphy, after the game, you know, he talked about a lot of the little things, right? This was one of those games where you get this little thing, and then it's that little thing, and then another little thing, and you kind of add them all together, and then you draw the line and see what it equals, and it's an L at the bottom of the thing.
In close games like this, I mean, those little things get magnified.
Yeah.
And they really, really do. And in good ball clubs, find a way to win those. And that's what we have to do. We're definitely going to turn this thing around. I mean, encouraged by what I've seen, you know, obviously the offense, no. I mean, we need to, you know, create more opportunities, more runners in scoring position. You know, we know that scenario. But we've kind of righted the ship as far as the pitching.
Yeah.
You know, now we got to get a few more pieces, before we, you know, start that winning streak.
I don't want to paint in broad strokes, so I'll ask specifically about yesterday and the lack of offense. Is it a credit to A.J. Burnett? Is it an indictment on the Padre lineup? Is it some combination as you were watching the game?
It's a combination. There's a reason that A.J. Burnett, finally at 38 years old, is going to be an all-star this year, throwing the baseball really well, you know. Got a good pickoff move, too. But we can get into that a little later.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling we'll be talking about that.
But overall, I think that, you know, it's part of that, but just the guys, you know, and Pat Murphy trying to find the right lineup. And, good Lord, you know, he's mixing and matches. And even Derek North's leading off a game today.
Yeah.
Trying to find that formula to get runners in scoring position until you get everybody back healthy. That hasn't happened yet, so. Going to keep mixing it up.
Funny thing about Norris, by the way, you know those things we always say when we talk about lineup construction and whether it really matters and whether it's that big of a deal. One of those things we always say about the leadoff spot is, well, he's really only the leadoff hitter at the beginning of the game, you know, in the first inning. And then he'll come up at different points and maybe there will be a guy on or not. And so we always say that. That's almost a cliche, right? It's trite. It's overused. We always say it. And then the first three at-bats for Derek Norris last night all come to lead off an inning.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
But also they're going to get that extra at-bat in a game.
Right.
You know, that's the 1-2 guys. And that's why usually you want your on-base percentage guys in those 1-2 spots.
Yeah, that's it. And also maybe, and I would think this might be the case a little bit here, a guy you're trying to get going. You know, give him a few more looks. Give him a few more opportunities as he tries to get himself back on track offensively.
Yeah, well, he has to. I mean, you got to just mix it up, and that's the whole key. You got to get some hits and with runners in scoring position. I preach about that all the time. That's the first thing I look at, you know. If they're three for something, you know, we're going to typically win ball games.
Yeah,
I really believe that. Mentioned
Pat Murphy talking about the little thing. Here's what he said after the game, kind of breaking down the way this whole thing went last night.
We dug our own hole, you know, like we dug our own hole by not doing little things that, whether it was getting picked off or not executing or, we got a real tough pitch to hit and run with and got thrown out there and then made a big error in whatever inning that was that led in their first run. So those little things matter when you're trying to get it all right and be a good club and you're playing good clubs, you know, you got to do those little things. So this is tough couple of games. They're all pretty similar, the last three.
Yeah, pretty similar games, the last three. That's our observation as well.
Yeah, we were watching the same games. That's definite.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, so close. It's really frustrating to, you know, and they've got to be frustrated, Jesse. I mean, you finally, you kind of getting it together, and all you need is that, you know, one key play, you know, and then you don't get it. And then also that one key hit, you know, with guys there. We had opportunities. Every game we've had opportunities, and it's just not happening.
Dick Enberg made the great observation in the ninth inning last night. The Padres had two hits in the seventh, two hits in the eighth, two hits in the ninth, and unable to bring anybody home. You had double plays. You had base running, a little bit of everything.
Yep.
You know, you had opportunities. You'd have caught stealing on a busted hit and run. It just didn't go.
And what you got to do is you got to give the Pittsburgh Pirates credit. Good teams, you know, make things happen like that. And that's exactly you saw it in St. Louis, I think, and I think you saw it again last night.
I mean, it's a team in Pittsburgh that's 14 games over .500. Mm. They're doing the little things right.
Yes,
they're
getting
the pitching, and even on the night that they can't hit, they're taking advantage, you know, of that one moment maybe that can swing the thing. And that's, I guess, what we're looking for the Padres to do.
That's what we have to do, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we're off to the races here on this Tuesday edition of Padres Social Hour. Randy Jones, Jesse Agler talking about tonight's game coming up. Tyson Ross and Francisco Liriano. Will Myers will join us. We'll do your Twitter questions and comments. Hashtag PadresSH. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple more little things that took place in the game last night, including that pickoff of Melvin Upton Jr. Late in the game, which certainly was noteworthy for a couple of different reasons. Join the Padres on Saturday, July 25th, for a postgame concert by Grammy Award-winning artist Nelly. The performance is free to all fans with a ticket to that night's game against Miami. It's a 5:40 first pitch, so get your tickets now at Padres.com/BNISD. Nelly postgame concert on July 25th. Take a break, come back, and we'll talk box right after this on Padres Social Hour.
We'll have more of your inside look at the San Diego Padres right after this on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Will Myers will be stopping by a little bit later on in the show with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler.
What do you want him to do? Come on, get up here. Come on.
Introduce us to your friend here.
Hey, RJ, come on, get up here. Attaboy, sit down. Sit. Good boy.
We're going Jack Hanna on this show today.
Well, hey, dog. I'm changing our luck. Brought RJ in.
Your dog in.
My new little bird dog.
A year old?
He's a year old.
Oh, that's a good-looking dog, man.
He's a good boy. But, I've got to try something.
Get the winds coming, man.
Let's get the winds coming.
Yeah, he's very tired. He keeps yawning.
Is this
nap time?
Yeah, I know. He's just impatient. He wants to move around, and he usually does that when I make him stay. He doesn't like it.
Got it. I think that's usually –
There he goes.
All right, so RJ's hanging out, trying to get the winds coming. And
yes.
Who knows, if we win, you got to bring him back tomorrow.
I'll be happy.
You're not even on the show tomorrow. But you're going to brave the Comic-Con traffic. You're going to drive down here from Poway.
Oh, sure.
And you and the dog can just hang out. You can sit over here off
please,
to the side.
Please don't tell me we're only going to win when he shows up when I do the show. We're going to be busy.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We're going to have you here all the time. All right, so a couple of other little things to talk about from last night's game. Let's go with the positive, just for the fun of it. By the way, congratulations to Justin Upton. I should have mentioned that right out of the gate. That was announced right after our show ended yesterday. He is an all-star. He is the all-star for the Padres. I wish I could be more angry at the fact that the Padres have one all-star representative. But the fact is, the way things have gone the last 4-6 weeks for a couple of other guys, I think it's fair.
I do.
I think it's fair.
I cannot argue with that. I mean, he deserved to be there. We might have a couple that were marginal that were right there on the line. If we were 15 games over .500, that'd be a moot point. But, we're not. We're struggling, and that's, prototypically what's going to happen.
Can't really get upset about it.
No.
But Justin Upton, absolutely deserving, the way he's gone. And congratulations to him, his third career All-Star appearance. So very, very happy for him. And we'll talk more about the All-Star game coming up in a little bit. But I want to start with a positive thing from last night before we get to any more of that. A.J. Burnett at the plate, looking like he's going to bunt. And he does the old butcher boy.
Yes.
And he swings away, and it was nearly a great moment for the Pirates, but it turned into a great moment for the Padres because Amarista and Jerko both really sensational defensive plays.
They really did a great job. I mean, the one thing is to stop this ball, and he goes back, backhands it. And then the wherewithal, too, of Jerko knowing had a little more time with the pitcher running, and he did it right. You get the sure out. And made a good quality throw, but that's a classic double play when you really needed it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really, really nice
I'd rather
play.
See the Butcher Boy than a classic bunt, and then now you got second and third in that situation.
Right.
So
exactly.
And they tried it, and you know, Clint Hurdle trying to maybe get a little something going, and it backfired.
It did. I like the call. I get what he's trying to do.
I get it, too.
And it took a really, really nice couple of defensive plays for the Padres to get that result. All right, so that was one little thing that went well for the Padres last night. A little thing that did not go well was in the top of the eighth inning. Melvin Upton is on first base. He is pinch running, and there is a pickoff attempt. And he is picked off.
Yeah.
And he is upset that he is picked off. Because he is screaming, and you could see it the whole time, that it was a balk. And I thought Mark Grant did a really, really nice job on Fox Sports San Diego of breaking this down. There is we got the question came in on Twitter, right? The question came in from Jellyman, who just said, do you guys agree that Burnett balked? There's no question he balked.
There's no question. But, you know, a lot of times, if you do it once, just in that scenario, you're going to get away with it. You know, he didn't get caught, and that happens. You know, and then, you know, you try it the second time, definitely probably would have been a balk called in that scenario.
So you're saying they're giving him a free one?
Well, you get away with it. Not anticipating the routine comes set.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really watching. You're not locked in.
You're saying the umpire wasn't watching as closely as maybe he could have been?
That's right. Oh. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
And, you know, like, there's always, like, no, I didn't do it very often, but every once in a while, and I can only do it in the first inning prototypically, you know, where when I get started into my windup, I'd actually, instead of stepping right by the rubber, I'd step up about five inches, you know. And so basically I'm just 4 or 5 inches closer to the plate. But then you throw a fastball or a breaking ball, and it's getting there that much quicker, you know. And you can get a quick out and a little bit of stuff. But usually the first base coach is going to catch you. And I could get away with that once in a game or maybe in a month. You know, I could get away with that little move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little something to get him thinking about things. And I would do that. And, of course, first base coach would be yelling, hey, he's not on the rubber, you know. And I'm going, what? What are you talking about? And then they're watching you. You know, those are the little things, the game inside the game that we play on the mound. And, you know, and you saw Burnett, big deal.
Yeah.
He didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
But I respect the move. It was quick. It was good.
It's one of those things that is a little bit of a risk.
Well, it is.
That's a big base runner. You know, tie game, eighth inning. He's on first base. Everybody knows, you know, he's probably trying to get to second at some point. And, all right, I'm going to go high risk, high reward here if I'm A.J. Burnett. And he rolled the dice, and he came up he came up positive on his side.
Well, he made a couple of good quick pickoffs. They were good. They were clean. And then, you know, then the balk move, and it worked.
It did work.
It really did work.
But it was a balk, right?
Yes.
It was
100%
a balk. So that was a break for the Pirates. The Padres got a break just a moment or two after that when Derek Norris appeared to have struck out with two outs to end that eighth inning. And for whatever reason, it was called a foul ball. I think he missed the pitch by 4 inches. and you know, I was like, well, maybe it hit the plate, so it sounded like it hit his bat.
It had to hit something. It sounded
it
like it.
I watched it 100 times. It hit
right
the dirt.
There.
It didn't even hit the plate.
That was not a foul tip.
No. I mean, not even close. And it's just a blown call. So Derek Norris got a second life there, and he took advantage of it. And then there was another hit, and you're saying, oh, my goodness, this is unbelievable. But Burnett ends up pitching out of it anyway, or the Pirates end up getting out of it anyway, and such is life. But that was another one of those little things, one that went the Padres' way yesterday, and it looked, again, for that moment, like they were going to take advantage of the situation, but didn't end up cashing it.
Yeah, and you know, those are those little things, like you say. Right now, you know, all of a sudden now you've lost three straight and played some pretty good competitive ball games. You got to stay focused, keep doing what you're doing. It's going to happen. You know, you got a left-hander on the mound tonight. Liriano's been tough on us, but still, you know, hey, these close ball games like this, you got to keep them close, and you're going to start winning a few.
Yeah, no, that's the
it
key
really
for the
will.
Padres. Everybody knows the clock is ticking. You know, July 31st is not that far away, and that is the non-waiver trade deadline. And, you know, we sort of said, I see this going three ways on this road trip, right? You split in St. Louis, you've lost the first in Pittsburgh, and you got three in Texas over the weekend. If the Padres sort of tread water on this road trip, you know, if they kind of split it, you say, all right, let's maybe reassess coming out of the All-Star break a couple of games. If this trip goes very poorly, they probably become sellers. If the trip goes very well, maybe they become buyers, or at least not sellers. So, you know, we're into it now. You know,
well,
we're into it.
And we do know the front office, you know, they're on the road. You know, they're traveling with the ball club, and they're assessing, and they're going to have to make that decision.
We saw A.J. Preller there yesterday.
Yes, we did.
And, yeah, no, I mean, it's big-time decisions. All right, so as you said, Liriano on the mound today for Pittsburgh against Tyson Ross. Let's take a look at the Padres lineup. Last night, Derek Norris became the ninth different leadoff man to be used by the Padres this season. He will lead off once again this evening. The Padres starting nine, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Yonder up in the two hole. I love that. Kemp three, Upton four, Jerko five. He's swinging a good bat. And there's something. Will Middlebrooks back in the starting lineup for the first time, I think, since June 28th. He'll start at third base, Melvin Upton Jr. in center, Barmas, and then Tyson Ross. Good to see Middlebrooks back in there.
Right.
It'll be even better to see Middlebrooks back in there if he can get the bat going.
Yeah, I'd like to see him square up on one, get a couple of hits tonight, but good to see him back in there. You know, obviously right-handed heavy with the left-hander starting.
That's it. So it'll be Liriano and Tyson Ross. Take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about the All-Star game, the All-Star situation. I don't like to get too into snubs and all that kind of thing unless it impacts the Padres. And, again, I don't think it does.
Okay.
You know, I'm comfortable, unfortunately, with Justin Upton being the lone representative. I am. You know, just sort of the way the month has shaken out. So we'll do some more All-Star talk and also get to your Twitter questions and comments. The hashtag, as always, is Padres. SH. You want to be at baseball night in San Diego, right? It's July 18th. It's a game against the Rockies, and all fans in attendance will receive a genuine Petco Park replica jersey presented a Petco Park replica presented by Fanatics Authentic. So get your tickets to see the Padres face the Rockies at 5:40. Go to Padres.com/BNISD. Padres.com/BNISD. We'll take a break, come back, do a little bit more All-Star talk, and then Will Myers will join us. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and Pirates coming up from PNC Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 28-minute rain delay at the start of last night's game, but then everything cooperated.
That's prototypical.
And held off. Yeah, no,
that's always Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, that's standard operating.
Always going to rain sometime.
Yeah, Pittsburgh in the summer. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. That's what was amazing when we were there last year, and I believe it was in August, early August. It was, like they said, the most beautiful 3 days they had had all year. It was just picture perfect, and so you knew that this year it was going to like flip back the other way.
Well,
you don't get 2 years in a row of great summer weather.
Well, they're talking about, you know, 75 degrees, but the humidity had to be up.
That's right.
Prototypical there for this time of year, but 75 is still pretty decent.
Yeah, no, that's not
it
bad.
It could
at
have
all.
Been 94 with 100% humidity.
But you're getting the rain.
Yeah,
exactly. Like in Miami.
Oh,
or something
I've
like
been
that.
There, done that. Yeah.
Hey, how about a little Tim Fedorovich update?
Yes.
The Padre catcher. This is our AMR injury report. News coming from Pat Murphy today. Dennis Linda, the Union Tribune, tweeting that Fedorovich will catch Brandon Morrow's simulated game in Texas on Saturday and then begin a rehab assignment. It is going to begin with Fort Wayne, with the Tin Caps.
Good.
So Fedorovich on track to begin a rehab assignment soon. And, again, this is a guy that got hurt during spring training. You got to figure it's probably a close to a month-long rehab assignment.
Oh, I would think so. You know, this is his spring training right now.
Right.
I know he's been working hard. He's in pretty good shape. But, you know, still, you got to get in game shape. And that's going to take – I bet that takes 4 weeks.
Yeah. No, it certainly is going to take some time. That's the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. I want to get to All-Star stuff in a moment. First, though, a couple of questions coming in about the Buck and that kind of stuff from last night. Start with Jellyman. I think that's a good place to go. And he wants to know if you think a Buck should be challengeable.
Boy, that's a tough one. No, you can't do that.
You're a left-handed pitcher. Of course you're going to say that.
We would run that gambit. You know how far you can strip toward
it's
home.
It's a
fine line.
Yeah.
And if you start doing replays on that, and now it's a judgment back in umpire central, let's call it.
Yeah.
That's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
You can't appeal those, I think. You've got to be – it is what it is.
To me, it's similar to a check swing. You know,
it's
a really tough one. to start looking at.
But you can't replay it.
Right. Every single one. I mean, unless it's a really obvious one, but you hope that they don't miss the really obvious ones, even though we know that they do sometimes. I just – that's a little tough.
Yeah.
That's a little tough.
That would be tough.
I get what he's saying, though.
Yeah, I like his attitude, but yeah. I don't think so, Jellyman.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna jump on board with you. David on Twitter, after the balk, no call, you had the Derek Norris swing and a miss that they called a foul ball. He's suggesting makeup call. All right, in your experience.
Nah.
Big league pitch. Forget, there's no way that was a makeup call.
No, that was not a
makeup call. That's not a makeup
no.
call. But there's no doubt. That was just a miss.
Yeah.
A big miss.
That sounded like hitting wood, and right. It was actually hitting dirt.
But in your experience, as a big leaguer, as a Cy Young Award winner, as an all-star, makeup calls, are they a thing that actually happen or a thing that we just talk about as fans to make ourselves feel better?
They can, but usually they're not that big a spectrum. Of course, I remember, Jesse, we weren't on TV every single day in replays
right.
and slow-mos.
There's no HD slow-mo
and
replay.
All that,
yeah.
You know. But every once in a while, yeah, you might miss a call, as you know, right on the corner. And then you might get one a little bit later on, a little makeup call, something like that. But nothing as major as hey, you missed the balk.
Right.
You know, and so now we're going to call this a foul.
Right.
No.
Strike zone,
that's
you know,
not
that kind of stuff
yeah,
can happen.
Yeah, strike zone stuff, little things on the edges.
Yeah.
You might get a call here or there if you missed one. But that's as big as it gets.
Okay. No, I think that's interesting. And yeah. it's one of those things fans talk about an awful lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anytime something like that happens, we all sort of jump and go, makeup call. But that's not.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the All-Star game a little bit. How about this? I saw this today. No Yankee and no Red Sox in the starting lineup for the American League. You know how many times that's happened in the history of the All-Star game?
Wow.
Which goes back
not
to
many.
1933.
Not many.
It's never happened.
Never?
Never in an All-Star game that was played. Now, here's the asterisk. In 1945, there were not going to be any Red Sox or Yankees in the starting lineup for the American League, but the game wasn't played because of World War II. So if you go by actual All-Star games that were played, going back to the first one, which was yesterday, July 6th was the anniversary, 1933, there's never been an All-Star game played in which neither a Yankee nor a Red Sox started. And obviously, in the pre-expansion era,
that's
a little bit different.
That's amazing, yeah.
That's pretty crazy, though.
Well, you'd think with fan voting in New York, you know, that you'd probably get a Yankee in there. But obviously, they don't even think they're worthy.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. They're taking a more honest approach, maybe, than the people in Kansas City.
I agree.
Yeah. How about that? All right. So, this is the time of year, right, this week, where everybody goes crazy about snubs and how can this guy not be in the All-Star game? How did he not be elected by the fans? How is he not a starter? All that kind of thing. I think from a Padre perspective, I don't know that I consider there to be any snubs, unfortunately. But if you look around baseball, there's a couple. Like Clayton Kershaw in the final vote is interesting.
That is interesting.
Clayton Kershaw in the final vote is interesting. Now, is he Clayton Kershaw of last year? No, of course not. But he's still, you know, pretty darn good. So our friend Ben Higgins, who sometimes hosts this show from Channel 10 here in town, he had a really interesting tweet. And I imagine other people have said this before, but I hadn't really ever thought of it. And he said, I wouldn't mind seeing the defending MVP and Cy Youngs guaranteed a spot in the All-Star game every year. 3 months isn't everything.
That's a great call.
That's
a great call.
Because those are the guys you should – it should almost be a continuation of the celebration.
Those are the guys you want to see,
that's
too.
It. They're going to be a big-name
really
guy.
Are.
Now, I mean, look, like if a guy, you know, kind of wins a random Cy Young and he's awful the next year and he's got a 6 ERA, I could see that being the argument against this. But that doesn't happen very often.
Not by today's standards. You know, Tim Brody, you know, MVP and the Cy Young, you know, automatically on the All-Star team, I can kind of get that.
I like that. And I'm not saying they should start, you know, if they don't get voted in to start, that's fine. But I really do like the idea of those guys being in there. I think that's a really good thought.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy talked about how tough it was this year to, you know, make the decisions that he had to make.
Yeah.
He said those are really, really difficult. You know, and
he always cares about that,
you know.
No, I know.
And it's tough, and he's talking to managers. He's, you know, everybody's calling him, you know, and got their pom-poms out for their guy.
Right.
And that always happens. It's prototypical.
Yeah.
But then you kind of be, you know, like Chris Bryant, I was great to see, you know, him selected to the All-Star team.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Absolutely.
The young rookie deserved that.
Absolutely.
I think it's great for baseball.
Yeah. No, I don't think there are any big time, you know, snubs. I'm not going crazy over anybody. A lot of people making noise about A-Rod not being, you know, on the All-Star team. Yeah. He's put up some numbers, but I don't think that's a huge deal. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Will Myers and his brother, Bo, be here. I'll talk to him about the wrist, about Conan O'Brien, and about everything that's happening in Will Myers' world, which, of course, includes Chipotle. We'll talk to him about all of that. And then coming up after that, a Randy Jones-esque game last night in the big leagues with the White Sox and the Blue Jays. I want to get your take on Mark Burley and Chris Sale were able to do in under 2 hours.
I love it.
Last night. Hey, if you're looking for paradise, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at the Park at the Park or at the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We'll take a break, come back. Will Myers here, Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Game two of a three-game set between the Padres and the Buccos coming up from PNC Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One of the guys who's not there, unfortunately for the Padres, is outfielder first baseman Will Myers on the 15-day disabled list. But he is nice enough to be here at the AMR studio to stop by, and he's not alone. He has brought his brother, Bo. Now, let's start with this because that's a little bit out of context for somebody watching this show. They said, Will Myers has a brother. Tell us about your brother, Bo.
Yeah, he's 6 years younger than me. Just graduated high school. He's going to Appalachian State to play baseball. He's very excited about that. That's kind of all I got on him.
Well, that's a good amount of information. Him. Well, congrats, man, first of all, on the App State situation. That's pretty cool. So is this like your summer job, is just hanging out with your brother in San Diego?
Yeah, it's a good time I have. It's a good break from everything back home. It's sort of my vacation, and I really like coming to see him.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty cool. Your brother's in the big leagues. He lives in a great city. It's not a bad time. Not a bad time. I've seen you on the Segway, too. You're using the Segway a little bit?
Love that Segway.
Yeah, no, the Segway's a big deal. Yeah. All right, so yesterday you guys had the opportunity to go over. Conan's here doing his show all week, and he had the opportunity to go over and play video games, and then Conan drops in on you. It's a pretty cool life you've got, Will Myers, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, we weren't sure if Conan was actually going to come, but, yeah, it was a lot of fun. He seemed to be a great dude. Everybody on the set was awesome. Every employee was really cool, but no, we had a good time. It was really cool for Bo. We got a couple of pictures, sent the link to our parents, so it was a lot of fun.
I mean, that's profile picture stuff right there, right?
Something with Conan.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, Will Ferrell in spring training. He's playing right field. You're playing center field. Now here you get to play video games with Conan O'Brien. What was the cooler experience?
Oh, definitely the outfield with Will Ferrell.
Okay.
That's my guy. I mean, if I were to meet anyone, it would want to be him. And I was able to play outfield beside him. And then I got to spend like 10 minutes just one-on-one talking to him for the HBO show. So it honestly felt when I was talking to him like I was in a movie with him. So that was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
He was in character pretty much the entire
time. The whole
time.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
How would you describe that character? Because obviously we haven't had a chance to see all the footage yet, just a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff. What do you think we can expect from that character?
It's just like a movie. Like, he's just how he is in the movies. I mean, I didn't see him any different than, you know, what he's like in Old School or something like that. I mean, he's just a good dude, and he's really, really funny, obviously.
Yeah, so it's like you're watching Step Brothers, except two feet in front of your face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's pretty awesome. All right, baseball, how's the wrist? How are we feeling? All that kind of
stuff.
Feels
good. Yeah. Just started strengthening yesterday for the first time. I'm going to Arizona right before the All-Star break ends to see the doctor that gave me the surgery to give me the okay to start light swinging. So I'm excited about that. It's, you know, my wrist has progressed better than they thought. So, you know, I'm excited to get back out there. It's been too long since I've done any baseball activity, and I'm about to go crazy, you know, not doing anything. But, you know, I'm excited to go ahead and see the doctor and see what he says.
What's life on the DL like, you know, for a player? I mean, for fans, it's sort of like, all right, you're going to keep watching the games, obviously.
Right.
You know, life sort of continues to spin, but it's got to be a different deal for the player.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I don't like it at all. I hate it. You know, I don't have anything to do. You know, it's good that my brother came out. But, you know, just sitting here while the team's on the road is very boring. I plan my day around, you know, watching the game while they're on the road. But, you know, there's nothing better than being out on the field and competing with your teammates.
Will Myers is here. He's on the Cholula hot seat. So is his brother, Bo. What's been the highlight of the trip to San Diego? Don't say Chipotle, please, for goodness sakes.
It's got to be Conan, right?
Yeah, it was Conan. Chipotle was really good, but meeting Conan, that was definitely
I've only taken to Chipotle how many times? Twice?
Only twice.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
29th is when I got out here last month.
So like a month, and you've only been to Chipotle twice.
Yeah.
I would have taken the over. I would have lost that bet. Yeah. Do you mean twice a day or twice total?
No, twice total.
Okay,
yeah.
Twice total. Yeah. All right. So you're really getting to know the neighborhood now, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I still gotta find a Mexican place I like. I haven't found one yet. It's not the same back home as it is back home. The Mexican here is way different.
It's more authentic here maybe than in the North Carolina.
They don't have white cheese dip.
White cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got white cheese.
Where?
I got a place for you. Nikki knows the name of it. We were just talking about it on the walk over here.
All right, fair enough.
Really authentic.
I'll go check it out.
I don't know how North Carolina it is, but it's very Mexico.
Yeah, okay. It's really good. I might go check it out.
All right, anybody else who has Mexican restaurant recommendations for Will and Bo Myers, you can send those in. So the Conan stuff was happening. That's part of Comic-Con. Are you into the comic world at all? Superheroes, anything like that? Is that your speed?
You know, I've never read any comic books, but I am into the Marvel movies. You know, I like the Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man. Actually, my brother just got into them. Yeah. I showed him Avengers for the first time like a couple days ago. We went and watched Avengers 2. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
So he's into them now. I really like the movies. I think they're great. They're funny. So I'm excited about the Comic-Con to maybe see some stuff going on.
It's a little wild. It's a little wild.
I've heard. Yeah. We're excited to go check it out.
Good stuff, man. Well, I appreciate you stepping in and spending a few minutes with us, catching us up. Glad to hear the wrist is progressing well, and hope to see you back out on the field pretty soon, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, that's Will and Bo Myers on the Cholula Hot Seats. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Who's the best Mario Kart player, by the way? Which one of you guys? Yeah, it was Will. All right.
Yeah,
Conan did not appear to be very good.
No,
what I was watching, at one point, his guy wasn't even moving.
Yeah, and he thought it was moving.
He's just looking at the wrong screen.
He was watching the wrong screen.
He's like, oh, I'm kicking butt here.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
he was watching mine.
Yeah, you haven't left the starting line yet. Awesome. All right, Will and Bo Myers, more social hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse. Thanks to Will Myers and Bo Myers for stopping by. Will, still searching for the white cheese at the Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
Kim, who works up in the office here, she emailed and she says, Miguel's white sauce is the bomb, her words. So the white sauce at Miguel's. Now, I didn't know when he said white cheese what he was like the cojita, you know, that they put on top, you know, sometimes. I don't know, but she says the white sauce at Miguel's is great. We had a bunch of tweets coming in for food. Cole on Twitter says Don Carlos in La Jolla.
Mm.
I have not been there.
That's a good call. Been there.
Okay, and then a bunch of people tweeted this one in, so you know it's probably pretty good. David says the best authentic taco plate in Chula Vista, Tacos El Gordo. A couple of people came up with that one, so I'm gonna check that one.
We might have to make a road trip there. Jesse, I haven't been down there either.
Okay, we'll check out that one. I'm happy to make a road trip for that.
I would too.
What's the name of the place here that's really good? I'm going to screw up the pronunciation. Apologies in advance. Las Cuatro Milpas, right around the corner down here. Oh, man. I had that once last year.
Yes.
I got to go back. That's real deal.
Let me know what day we're doing it.
Mexican. It's a little bit of a long walk from the park. You could do it. You could walk from here, but we'll hop in the car maybe and go real quick. One day for lunch. It's like these four women, and it's just like they run the whole operation. It's like going to your grandma's kitchen, basically.
Ah.
It's one of those places. Oof, that's good food.
I like that.
I don't know how their white cheese is for Will Myers.
Well, we can scout it out.
Yeah, we'll check the white cheese situation from there. Your dog is wandering. We should probably.
Yeah.
So, RJ, what did Ghost of Ray Kroc say? I saw that up a minute ago. He's rooting hard for RJ, that's the dog, knocking something down while wandering around the set.
Yeah, well, he's his first time here, so he's got to get all the sniffs out of the way.
Yeah, he's
a bird dog, so he's got to sniff everything.
So this is your one-year-old dog, RJ.
Yep.
He's a lovely little dog. He's very nice.
He'll settle down.
Hey, yesterday, man, Mark Burley of the Blue Jays and Chris Sale of the White Sox, they channeled
classic
their inner Randy Jones and Jim Cott.
It's a classic game.
1 hour and 54 minutes. A 4-2 win for the White Sox, okay, and in Chicago, both guys go the distance. So Burley takes the complete game loss, 8 innings, 4 runs, none of which were earned.
Wow.
Unearned runs. Sale gets the win. 9 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts.
And a little bit of difference, though, you know, and Burley and I watched many times, he'll pitch to contact.
Right.
One of the rare guys, rare starters still in the league that pitches to contact. Hey, want you to swing and let's go. You know, he pounds down in the strike zone, good late movement. You know, and Saley, he just works fast. You know, he gets the ball back and is quick. But, you know, he throws strikes. They're both strike throwers. And it doesn't surprise me. Both those guys, you know how to pitch, and they get in the groove like that. And watch how Jim Cotton and I did an hour and 27.
Which is insane.
You know, and he didn't complete his side. He got pinch hit for. Might have been even faster that left him in.
1 hour, 54 minutes.
That's awesome.
9
Brad.
Innings of big league baseball.
That's all, you know. And number one, remember now you got every game's TV. So you got a little bit of delay. You got a little more time in between innings. So that's really unusual. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, unusual is the right word. You know, I said this sometime this week on the show, and it was after watching Mike Montgomery of the Mariners here at Petco, and then Waka of the Cardinals over the weekend, both of whom were pitching really well and really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of another reminder, certainly along with these two guys last night, of what baseball can look like as you're watching it. If the starting pitchers are in their groove, it can be a totally different viewing experience than when you get one of those guys who takes a long time between pitches. And I said this week on the show, I feel like the pitch clock is probably inevitable at the big league level. I don't know. You know, I don't think it's going to be next year. But, you know, look, they're doing it at AA and AAA now. You know, it's sort of maybe you're conditioning a bunch of people to sort of be more comfortable with that as time goes on. I just think having watched a couple of really quickly pitched games
mm-hmm.
in the last week and now reading about this one last night in Chicago, it's only a matter of time. I believe that at this point that you're going to have a pitch clock in baseball because it really – I say this with all due respect to tradition and everything else, it enhances the viewing experience. It
well,
really does.
I think
so
it
key.
Does. And also, you can't score runs. You're talking about a 4-2 game in under 2 hours.
Right. This
not
wasn't
like
one nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, no, that's it. This was a real baseball
game.
There was action. There was stuff happening. It wasn't one guy but, shoving it.
Yeah, but the pitchers also, you can, you know, I think it's more positive when you work a little bit quicker. But also, what you can't do, you can't go 0-2 and be throwing, you know, 6 more pitches to every hitter. And that's one of the keys as well.
Right.
You can have your pitch clock, but it's all about pounding the strike zone. And that's what those two guys did. For an hour and 54 minutes, they were both all over the strike zone.
You're absolutely right. 104 pitches for Burley with 71 strikes, 108 for Sale with 77 strikes.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
That's a big part of it as well. But I'm starting to feel like it's an inevitability, and it's going to be a major adjustment for pitchers, and there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing, and there's going to be a lot of complaining,
and
the traditionalists are going to freak out that there's a clock ticking down in the game.
Fine.
But –
it's not going to work. It's still going to be 3 hours.
You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think that helps?
Well, now you're going to tell me you're going to get the hitter in there and the pitcher's going to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But what it might do is if you did it for a couple of seasons, might condition players to play the game right, you know, and quit stalling and wasting so much time in between pitches. It might do that if they put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it might make an impact on how the tempo of the game goes.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting. A couple more quick restaurant recommendations for Will Myers that have come in. Steve, this is the place that Kim mentioned in the email, the White Queso Dip at Miguel's, both Coronado and Point Loma. That sounded good to me right about
that
now.
That does sound good.
Man, that's might be maybe might be a post-show
stop. Why don't we just do it after the show's over?
Yeah, maybe we will. John, also Los Reyes. Is one that he says to check out. I don't
good.
Know Los Reyes. And Humberto's.
As long as they have the game on TV, we can go. That's one of the prerequisites for me.
It's a good point.
Swinging by.
It's a good point. All right. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Isn't that right, RJ? Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We're wrapping up here. We got to do our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We've got all the juju going. We're trying to get some bats, some hats for bats, whatever we can do. Trying to get the bats going for the Padres tonight against Francisco Liriano. So each of you will pick a guy from the starting lineup who you think is going to have the biggest impact on the game. Blooper tells us he is the first choice.
Okay.
Blooper, who you got?
Jerko.
All right, he's taking Jed Jerko.
I'll go with Barmas, Clint Barmas.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Down the line, I got a feeling that the bottom of the lineup is going to make something happen today.
Okay.
Against Laureano.
All right, there you go. Barmas and Jerko, the choices in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Hope everybody enjoys the game. I'm off to find some white cheese. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3:00.